started flipping my phone out and looked for the beads. Brother Barney is going to come first. Brother Ralph Steele will follow Brother Barney, the Lord willing, and then Brother Robert Turner. Brother Robert Turner will come. It's just so amazing how your mind can just go and then when it's gone, it doesn't come back.
Where you get my age?
You're wrong. We pray the Lord to just be with us this afternoon. Pray the Lord to bless us. Bless these brethren as they come before us. And for us. Needs.
Bless you.
And time for supper.
That's all. Time for supper.
Bow with me. Dear gracious Lord, as we Heavenly Father come before Thee this afternoon, asking, Lord, that Thou would again pour out Thy blessings upon us as Thou hast this morning and so many other times in our lives. That at this time, Lord, of gathering together in Thy name, that Thou would bless these brethren that come before us to be able to feed Thy flock, to grant us, to give us, Lord, those things which we have need to hear, that through Thy Spirit, Lord, that Thou would guide them and direct them, and that Thou would also, Lord, bless us with hearing You. That Thou would continue to remember each person in each church that's represented here. I ask, Lord, that Thou would remember all those that are less fortunate than yourselves. That Thou would keep us all in Thy tender watch. And bless us, Lord, in this meeting that we might see Jesus high and lifted up. And be caused to meditate and think upon the cross of our Lord and Savior and the many great blessings bestowed upon us through His perfect obedience to Thy righteousness. We ask, Heavenly Father, that Thou would remember us and in spite of ourselves bless us for His dear sake.
Amen.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
I think that's the only time I've ever done that, but it's good to be here. I've tried when I go to a church for the first time to thank all the people for your prayers. Thank your pastor for the phone calls and emails. Our God is great.
Amen. He is.
My mind has went from Psalm 39 to Psalm 51 to Matthew 5 to forget John 17. Back to the beginning. We're told, in the beginning, God. Now, I'm like the brother this morning. I have no earthly clue how long the world has been here. I quite frankly don't care. Anything past 6,000 years, you're going to have to prove it to me if you were there. All of the experts would probably have told you, had they been alive at the time, that Adam was 20 or 30 years old day one. I kind of feel that God did the same thing with the universe.
Yes, He did.
If it was His mind and pleasure, He could create it with a form of antiquity or oldness or age, whatever you want, just like He did Adam. Amen. But Adam was able to walk and talk and move day one. I've got a bunch of kids and grandkids, and some of them are really good, but none of them are that good. But the Scripture says, in the beginning, God. That leaves aside everything else. In the beginning, God. And it goes on to say what He done, but the main thing that's on my mind is, in the beginning, God. I want you to know that in the beginning of the creation, there was God. When He spoke this world into existence, hung it up on nothing, and it still revolves with exacting precision, it was only Him. And I mean by that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But in the beginning, God. The man was the last thing to come. And I hope y'all know why that was. Because if you'd have been there in the beginning, day one, two, three, four, you say, look what we done. Man always wants to take the praise from God. Man wants to, somehow feels he's entitled to, take the praise from God for his own salvation, if you will. But I tell you that in the beginning, God, what it's a creation of the universe, whether it's calling one out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of his own self, it's in the beginning God. I well remember the time and the place when my God came to me. I well remember the difference between going to bed at night, afraid to stay awake and afraid to go to sleep because you're afraid you'll wake up in a devil's hell. You know, have you ever been there? Have you been there? I mean, seriously. Have you seen hell opened, ready to receive you, and you're marching onward towards it, and you're getting closer and closer and closer, just like the edge, and ready to fall off. And all at once, there stands one named Jesus Christ between you and that gulf. And you're given to know that He paid the price. You're given to know that I didn't do anything. This is a day just like every other day. I didn't make the day. I didn't make the universe. I didn't affect the salvation. I did just like the lady down south said, 50, 100 years ago, when she wanted to talk to the church. You know, you all know the story. I want to tell the church what me and God done. I done all the sinning, and He did all the saving. Oh, praise His holy name. I didn't do anything to merit salvation. The very best I've got is filthy rags.
Amen.
But it said, in the beginning, God. John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's all you need to know. Whether it's in the beginning of the creation of the universe, whether it be the sun, the moon, the stars, and I think God's got a sense of humor, by the way, because He said He made the stars also, as if that was nothing. Yes, and they're still finding new ones, so-called. God knew all of them all the time. He never lost track of one. Just like He's never lost track of one of His little sheep.
Nope.
Many years ago when I first started going amongst the old Baptists near where I live, and that's as far as we'll go with that, one of the ministering brethren told me that I can kill myself anytime I want to, whether it's my time to go or not. I'm thinking, man, I got to go back to Virginia. This ain't working. They don't believe silly stuff like that where I come from. And trust me, I left there before I was a believer, but I intellectually remembered that. I mean, I've heard it enough that I remembered that, even though I wasn't a believer. I believe I was a child of God, though. It was just not manifested to me. That's why our doctrine is so sweet. You can look at one that's seemingly hellbound, and then you pick up the phone or the newspaper, or turn on the TV, or the neighbor knock on the door and said, oh, so-and-so died. He got killed, or he died unexpectedly. He's gone straight to hell. You don't know that. That much, that quick or quicker, God can work in the hearts of His children, and He does. You cannot say with certainty where anybody has went, although by their fruits we suspect and we testify that the Lord's people went to be with Him. But I'm talking about those on the other side, so to speak. You don't know where they went, and that's the beauty of it. That makes preaching a funeral a whole lot easier. How would you ministering brothers like to stand up here and say, well, yeah, I like comfort you folks, but old George went on to hell. We know he did by the way he lived, by the fruits you shall know them. Now, do you get any comfort out of that? But on the other hand, if I stand here and tell you that in the beginning God, in the beginning of the creation, He created the universe. In the beginning of salvation, He came to His own when it seemed good to Him. He could have come to that one that just died, just that quick. You know, the old saying back in the Civil War, I think it was, between the hoof and the ground, salvation can be found. It doesn't take long to cry out, my God, my God. It doesn't take long, like the old publican, to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It don't take long. And yet at the same time, we know that He comes to His own. And we're told again in the first chapter of John that He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. He gave them the knowledge to know that they were sons of God. And I don't have a lot of patience for folk who say, I just don't think I'm nothing. You are a son of the King. A child of the King, if you will. A child of Jehovah, subject of grace. And yet we say, woe is me, I don't know, I don't know. I recounted to the brethren at lunch hour what my uncle said to me many years ago. One of the first trips that I'd made. Yeah, I drove 700 miles round trip to go to church, by the way. Had to keep doing it after the brethren said what they did up there. But that's another story. 700 mile round trip. And I go down there and Uncle Leonard is visiting my dad. And they're both old Baptist ministers. And my uncle has never said the word Barnabas in his life, I don't think. But I told him why I came. I told him what my God had done for me. How that I still had fears and doubts. But he said, well, Barney, it's plain to see that if God begun a good work in you, He will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. I submit to you today, brethren, that if you have ever felt that God was gracious, you are His, and you will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. In the beginning, if you was chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, you will be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. You can't do what the old preacher tried to tell me, go out and kill yourself before your time. Where would the safety of the children of God be? If they could just walk out in the street, which is what he said he could do, I could walk out in the street and get run over and killed, and that'd be my time. That's not God's time. Now, I was trying to be charitable. It was my first visit. Trying's a key word. But I said, brother, you cannot go against the will and the plan of God in your life. You can't do it. You might go out there, but don't think you will, because thank God to give you better sense. If you still go, car will miss you. Or it might just hit you and you'll lay there crippled the rest of your life, but you will not die until it's God's time. Scripture says there's time to be born, time to die. I quoted that from the pulpit in his presence one time. And he sat on that bench and shook his head and refused to shake my hand because I quoted a scripture. Brethren, we all got hang-ups. None of us are perfect, but go by the book. Whether you believe it or not, go by the book. If it said it's the time to be born, the time to die, rest assured that it is. If we read the book and it said, in the beginning, God, that's all there was. He created the universe, far as we know, out of nothing. You know, I took workshop and I played carpenter, plumber, electrician. I've done all that. But I ain't never made nothing out of nothing. Every once in a while I reshape something that's already there, but I ain't never made nothing out of nothing. I made a mess out of a lot of things. Sometimes I had help, sometimes didn't. But you can make a mess. You can make a mess out of things that are pure and holy if you don't rightly divide the Word of God. But he said he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I thank my God today that with every ounce of my being, when I'm clothed and in my right mind, I can say assuredly that He is my Father. That's why I like to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father. I'm not saying your Father, I'm saying our. If you cannot make it a personal to you, religion is of no value. Religion, not much value anyway, but that's another story. Christianity is following Christ. People can make a religion out of a rock or stump, part of a tree. But I'm talking about true religion, which is what my dad used to say. It's not up here, it's here. It's a religion of the heart. It's that religion that came from God. It's that religion that comes to those that know God. It's that religion that comes to those who are of God, if you will. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Does that not make you leap with joy to think that you're a son of God? An heir of salvation? Heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ? And bearing in mind that in the beginning He made the universe out of nothing and hung it up on nothing, and it's still there. I heard some time ago that the sun's going to wear out in 5 or 10 billion years, whatever it is. I'll take their word for it if they're there and if they come tell me. Is that not silly? The sun is going to wear out in 5 billion years because the material that it uses to generate all that heat dissipates over time. As I told somebody earlier, I'm just a semi-intelligent hillbilly. But I believe with every ounce of my being that the God that put it up there could renew its energy anytime He wanted to. It's going to stay there till we don't need it anymore. When we're in heaven and immortal glory, Jesus Christ will be the light. You won't have to worry about that. But in the beginning, God. God knows all. God does all. God made it all. God preserves it all. If you, I don't know if you do or not, but if you do like I do from time to time, especially when you're driving down the highway, if you just start, or laying in the bed at night, if you just start trying to thank God for everything that you should thank Him for, you know, that list gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, be like a little ones. They got the whole wide world. You know, it's that big. It's as big as the world. But my point is, I say all that to get to this. He created life. He gave you life. He sustains life. There's nothing else that can sustain life. You might say, well, food does. Where's food come from? You might say the sun does. Where'd the sun come from? No matter where you want to go, in the beginning, God done it. He fixed it. He made it. He created it. He sustains it. Even life itself. And not only that, but my natural life is secondary by a long shot to my spiritual life. I thank my God that He's called me out of nature's darkness to the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. I thank Him and I praise His great and holy name. And I beg Him for a mind and a voice and a heart to praise Him in a more perfect way. I love that song. It says, "My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine." Your spiritual life is much more important than a natural life. Back in March, I told all those gathered around, it'll be all right. I don't think any of them in there had enough sense to know what I said. I said, it'll be all right. I did not say, I'm going to get well. I said, it'll be all right. Being all right, you don't have to get well. You can go home.
That's right.
It's still all right. Even better, by the way. I said, it'll be all right. And finally, after God had given me a peace in the whole matter, then I said, I'm going to get well. I'm going to leave. You can't keep me here. I'm out of here. They look at you like you got three heads. But if they were intellectually honest, they would agree. Because I did. They tried to keep me. They sent the wheelchair to take me out to the car. And they put the wrong name on it. It went next door. The woman's getting ready to go to surgery. She can't go home. I said, it's me, it's me, it's me. And she's taking the wheelchair back. That nurse says, don't take it back. It's him. Wrong name. I'm going back down there. You've got to call up again. You've got to go through the whole process again. And then we'll come get you. Nurse said, let me have it. I'll take him. My point is, when it comes time to go, you won't have the wrong name. You won't have to worry about the name being wrong. It said, child, come home. We find in the Scriptures that names are used from time to time. I find it when my Lord said Lazarus come forth, He used a specific name. Had He not, everybody in that cemetery would have come forth. And maybe the rest of them too, as far as that goes. But He said, Lazarus come forth. You know, ain't going to be no mixed up names. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you stand in need of. And the beauty of it is, He knows how to provide. And not only that, that's on the good side. But now, you might say on the bad side, if you're a little haughty and high-minded, He knows how to take care of that too. He knows where the woodshed is. He invented the woodshed. And the wood. I've never been behind a woodshed. Naturally. I've been behind it many times spiritually. But naturally, it was always out in the yard, going round and round with a leather strap or a weeping willow limb. been too stubborn to cry and getting beat and beat and beat and beat. Brother would cry that quick, it's over. I was too stubborn. I'm still stubborn. We're made that way. But I want to tell you, God has the power. No matter how stubborn you are, no matter how you think this is the way to salvation, if it's not and you're one of His, He has that power to manifest Himself by His Spirit. And He comes in His own time and He's never late. There's a commercial I hear from time to time. A businessman, he says, "I'm on time every time and I come personally." I know that's got to be a lie. The traffic jams we have, you can't be on time every time. You can't possibly be. But God is. Time belongs to Him, if you will. We live in what we call a time world. It's just one big world with God. We wonder about what's going to happen tomorrow. We sing a song, "I know who holds tomorrow." Well, I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds the King's hand, heart, in His hand. We look around about and we think this nation, the world, as far as that goes, is going down the tubes. It looks that way. Probably looked that way to every generation. I can be reading something about the times and how bad it is and how wicked it is and how evil it is. And I'm thinking, boy, you got it right. Right on the money. And you look down the bottom, it's written 1905 or something. It's always been the same. News gets around a lot faster now. But it's always been wicked. Our first parents rebelled against God. Their first son killed their second son. But just one thing I would like for you to know. I want you to know this. Adam sinned willingly. Adam, if you will, went into death willingly because of the love he had for his bride. I want you to know that Jesus Christ willingly went into death because of the love that he had for the church of Christ. Praise be to His holy name. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. But again, we need a mind and a voice and a heart to lift up His name above every name that's ever been named. To praise Him in His Spirit's power. Don't try to praise Him with your intellect because it won't go anywhere. Scribes and Pharisees proved that many years ago. Be like the publican. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. King David was wise. Solomon was wise. You see where it got them? Yeah, I know David was a man after God's own heart, but you saw where he went. And if he didn't go there, Psalm 51 would be unnecessary. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. And yet you see what happened to him in his later years. You can't try to please this one and this one and this one and this one. Or have this one and this one, this one, this one for that point. And still be true to God. We must with an eye singular look to Him who was in the beginning, who created the world, who created the universe, who created the firmament that divided, who created the sun, the moon, the stars, and animals and vegetation and all that. All that that's in the ocean. Created it all. At my house a few weeks ago, we had a discussion about the world being without form and darkness. So my grandsons had been taught that the earth had been here for millions of years before that happened. And I said, no. Just get the book. It's right there in the book. Day one, darkness was upon the face of the deep and it was void. It's right there. Well, how many days did it take to create the universe? Everybody says seven. I said, it took six. No, it took seven. I said, it took six. He rested on the seventh. There are 7 days recounted in the creation, but the day of the seventh was a day of rest. Now you got to have help to misunderstand that. It tells you day. And it was good and very good. You might say, well, how could it be good and very good? It's wicked and it's evil. The remedy had already been arranged. The plan of salvation was already in motion, if you will. The day would come when Jesus would be born into a world that had no room for him. And yet we live in a world today that has no room for him. We don't have any room for Christ. He's a hindrance. He's a bother. I can do it myself. All I've got to say is have at it. See how far you get. I tried that. You know the old story, the farther I went, the behinder I got. You know, we're told that the real essence of stupidity is to be digging yourself a hole and not have enough sense to quit. Well, that's what you do when you try to work out your own salvation. And I know it's scripture, but you're working it out. I'm talking about doing it all on your own. That's the essence of stupidity, trying to do it yourself. But I want to tell you in closing that there's one that hung up on the tree. Said to that old thief up there with him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That goes to prove that you don't have to work out salvation, because last I read, the thief was like this. Nailed to a tree. He could do no good works. He could not knock on any doors, as you heard this morning. He couldn't do anything good. Bad either, for that matter. But the Master said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Praise His holy name. When the time comes that my Master sends the Spirit to arrest one of His, just like He did Saul of Tarsus. If there ever was a story worth telling over and over and over, it's Saul of Tarsus. He was destroying the church. He was binding them up. He was testifying against them to have them put to death. And here comes the Spirit of God. Who art thou, Lord? It's the same one that said in the beginning, God. And I thank you.
Bless your heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Ralph Steele, Elder Ralph Steele. May the Lord be with you, Brother Ralph. Thank you for having you with us, brother. God bless you.
Might I say again how thankful I've been to be here. Certainly enjoyed last night, everything today, both spiritual, natural. Enjoyed the fellowship. Always enjoy coming and going wherever and being with the Lord's people. Enjoy very much the home that I stayed in last night, and pray that the Lord would continue to bless that family and continue to bless this church here and those that look after it, tend to it, and care for it. So needful this is, and we've heard so much, and I've heard so much, and there's no one here that's head can get it as mixed up as mine, I'm sure. I hear so much sometimes that I just mind jumping all around here and there and everywhere. And pray for me. Pray that the Lord might be in the matter, and whatever I might say would be to His glory, to His praise. We've heard some things that are very important. I hope that they got home with you. I hope that we would be attentive to many of the things that we've heard. And one of them, I might hope the Lord might give me some few words to say about. And that is baptism. Baptism. And there's many types of baptism spoken of in the scriptures. And I full well know that the baptism that the Lord baptizes with, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the most important. Without it, we have nowhere to go spiritually and whatever. But I want to add this to what was said pertaining to baptism. This congregation here at this place that we are blessed to meet at today, I don't know the youngest one here that's been taken into the church, but I know that if there's not another one baptized after him, that at some point this will cease to be a place that we're able to meet and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, if we want to leave this for our heritage, for our children, for those that come after us, you know, sometimes I get in this rut and say, well, I'll get out of this world. I'll be okay. Just, Lord, take me home and it's all over. I don't have to worry about it. That's wrong. That's very wrong, and something we should never think that way. And when we do, pray that the Lord would forgive us for saying that. We should be very concerned today about the Lord's church here in this world. Very attentive to it. Care for it. Take care of it. And leave it as well a shape as we can. So many things in this day and time troubles me pertaining to the church. A statement that I have mentioned some years back, and not everyone that would come and ask to be baptized in the church surely should never be accepted always and baptized. We have words that they need to bring, meet. In other words, we should see some sign of a repenting heart. You shouldn't just take. We can find references where John the Baptist refused, call these people vipers, and why did you come to us? But surely, surely, we have many lessons. You know, I think, and I've heard the lesson, and if we look at the types and the things in the Old Testament, and someone just mentioned the temple, and how the temple was put together, and how everything that came in it was rightly fitted together. If one comes and asks for home in the church, if he's been prepared in that same manner as that was there, that he doesn't have to come here now and be rechanged and do whatever to become part of the church, but the church should accept him and take him as he is. You know, in the church, when I was blessed and allowed membership amongst the Lord's people, then I was able to lay aside and you know, I heard this brother that pastors this church here standing at the table at Bearsville and make a statement with me that's so true, and it's so wonderful now, years ago, and then I really didn't think about it much, but how that being baptized into the Lord's church, becoming a part of it, being a member of it, that you're now able to take part in it and to help support it and keep it together and keep it going, is a wonderful blessing. Much better than sitting outside and just watching. You know, this is a little bit harsh, but God says, God has called his people an adulterous nation, an adulterous people. That's an unfaithful people, just as you would be unfaithful to your wife. If you love the Lord, if you have any desire for Him, if the Lord has blessed you with the mind to come today and to hear the good news and to hear the good promises and all of the good news and wonderful things of His grace and of His mercy, if they mean anything to you or to one of you, by all means, we ought to take up our cross and join with the Lord's people. Not necessarily just this church here. You know, we find in the scriptures, if we go back, in every case that we read of a conversion, even Paul there on the road to Damascus, he was struck down. He was told to go into Damascus and see Ananias, the preacher there, and that preacher baptized Paul or Saul of Tarsus that day. You know, I find one difference and one thing that I think has hindered and caused so much problem amongst the Lord's people here in this world that He's blessed us to live in. I don't find a time or an instance in the scriptures when there was one that was pricked in the heart or had asked what must he could do to be saved, that he joined a church that had a man's name or somebody in this world had attached a name to it, or it's most of the time called something beside the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and I pray that today that we sitting here worshiping and praying that we could call ourselves, that we could be, would be my prayer, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only church that's talked about in the scripture, not some other something that man has fabricated up and dreamed up here in this world. But might I say to you, if you have any love for the Lord, any love for His church, any love for your family and your children that we need to leave behind them, even better than we had, join the church by all means, or it will disappear. It will disappear. They have, we know this is true, all around us, even today, they're closing the doors on the church. The Lord's people here in this world today has fallen into a thing that has taken the Lord's people, taken to, surely has many people today that's wandering in this world, just as all those that came out of Egypt because of their unbelief wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. We are wandering, so many of the Lord's people today, wandering in the wilderness, wandering, not knowing where to go, being entertained and taught untruths, and as one of the brothers said today, many things that God did not say, that God did not say. You know, as I look through the scriptures, I find so many times I've looked for and been encouraged by things that God was pleased with. And we'll find some occasions where God said He was pleased with things. But I promise you, if we go through the scriptures, we're going to find many, many more times that God was not pleased. God was not pleased. And you know, I read this portion of scripture, and this is not even close to what I started off with. And like I said, I might read this to you. You may not see it this way, but I do. You know, we always talk about praying and prayers being answered and that God always answers prayer. Well, in my mind and the way the Lord blesses me to read this little portion of scripture here, here was a prayer and God answered it. And I want you to listen to this and help me with it. In the 11th chapter of Genesis, it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Mm-hmm. "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for a stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said," this is their prayer, okay? "And they said, Truthfully, any time we would say, let us go and do something, it ought to be as a prayer. If God allows, if God would allow, let us go to and do. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to the city, to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now listen. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Which they have imagined to do. Go to, and listen to this. Let us go down. And there confound our language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build a city. Left off to build a city. You know, in one mind, and there start to do something that was not pleasing to God. Not pleasing. You know, we would think that, you know, to build a tower to heaven, what would be wrong with that? But that's not the way we're going to get there. That's not the way we're going to get there. So why? That's man's ideas. That's man's way of getting to heaven through our own works, through our own doings, to build us a way to heaven. That wasn't going to happen, because God already had foreknew before the foundation of the world. The only way that we would ever see heaven is through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
You know, I think back and might add this too, and the building of the temple, and the putting together of the temple, the things that was put into the temple as the body of Christ, each one of them being a member fitly put together in the temple. Might I mind you here, and this thought was with me when I was talking about the baptism, we don't read of a type of one of the particles or one of the things that made up that church. It was all rightly fitted together. There wasn't some just sitting here or there that wasn't part of it. They were all rightly fitted into the temple. And as I said, I've heard this preached, and I believe, and it makes sound very sound to me, that this temple is a type of the Lord's church. Back to the same thing and talking about the church and it being added to the church. I don't know, in this day and time and the changes and what we see in this country around us, when I look at and hear God say, or our scriptures say, such as should be added to the church, such that should be added to the church. And when I see the scriptures say that we should bring meat for repentance, and I think about today around us, in our little neighborhood where we used to live, where there used to be people of integrity, people that you could trust, you could leave your doors open, you could do whatever you wanted, and never would worry about somebody breaking in or doing you harm. Today, around most of us, lives people that I don't believe is such as the Lord would add to the church. Now, might I remind you, repenting of what they're living in and the way they're doing. There's many things going on in this country today that just saddens my heart. To see such as this go on in a great and a wonderful land, in a land that I've said this so often times, you know, we are to be the most as I said, tearing the doors down, this country, the way it has been blessed, the blessings that's been poured out upon us, we ought to be tearing the doors down to thank God, to praise God for having been so gracious, so kind, so loving, and everything else to us here in this country. And that's not so. We've been drawn away from God because of the things of this world. Entertainment has taken over the country that most of the people today much more enjoy the entertainment of this world. The entertainment of this world. And the entertainment of this world has moved into the church until that's what they think. That's what it takes to keep the Lord's people in the church and to keep them satisfied. You know, to me, I have to see this. I spoke about this. I read this verse of scripture. I mentioned it to one of the elders today. One of our main problems here in this life and of all the world, of all those that are wandering in the wilderness and don't know which way to go, is because of our lack of knowledge. Our lack of knowledge.
Amen, brother.
We're destroyed, the prophet says, because of the lack of knowledge. Why do we not have the knowledge? God says because we rejected it. We didn't want to hear it. We didn't want to accept and use the knowledge that He has prepared for us. You know, we talk about these scientists and all of the big words that they use in the many, many years and all these things. You know, I'm a little bit different than I just totally ignore it. I don't pay any attention to it. I just hope and pray that the Lord would keep me focused upon what He has given me.
Amen.
On what He has wrote in His scriptures and what I get out of there, that's all I want. Leave the rest of that junk, leave it out of my mind. I hate to even read fiction books and things because of cluttering my mind and so forth. And I've never been a person to read after the Lord impressed upon me to look into His scriptures and study and read them. I've read more 10 times more than I ever did all the way through school and enjoyed it. It's so gracious. It's so wonderful. I don't know if you ever heard me mention this before. You know, I thought it was so stupid the first time I mentioned this and went home, you know, and whipped myself for a while over it, but it never went away. And the fall has always been with me. God made us, made each and every one of us. He gave us life. He gave us spiritual life. He gives us everything that we need. If we were left of our own for just 1 minute to have to ask for all that we need to survive another minute, none of us would get out of here. None of us would get out. So God knows our needs. He provides our needs. He's just so wonderful, so gracious. And I forget my thought that was on my mind. But anyway, we should, as I said, in this country, in this land that we live in, instead of being so crazy about the things and the... Surely, you know, God didn't intend for us to be a bunch of hermits and live in a cave and just preach and worship and do nothing else but worship and praise Him. But then we should almost, because in everything that we do and everything that surrounds us, He provided, He gave to us. So we should always not be far from having thoughts of how gracious and how wonderful He's been to us. I just don't know how and why. But when we come back and we can think about the statement I just made, the lack of knowledge. You know, 25 years ago, I probably could have turned on the TV and listened to almost any preacher that was on station. I've said this recently, and I wear the remote out trying to find one I can listen to anymore. I cannot do it. And the only reason is because 90% of what you hear is going to depart. It's going to be away from what thus saith the Lord. I'll go back to my thought again. I finally come back. I'll excuse this poor head I got here. But God made us, give us everything we needed, food, everything created and put together by God. And He gave us this book, He inspired men to write down and give us this book. And I've said this, and I don't know if it'll mean anything to you or not, but if you have anything that you borrow or purchase that is of much value, and most everything requires a little maintenance and something to keep it running and going, if you throw it in the corner and don't read it and don't pay any attention to it, you'll probably end up in trouble. And it'll cost you. It'll cost you. You'll have to call the repairman, or you'll take it somewhere. Most of the time, when there's something real simple, you could have just pushed a button or whatever and fixed it yourself. God gave us a manual. He gave it to us. It tells us everything that we need to know about Him, everything that we need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary, and how we are to live and get along here in this life. And if we could but just, if we could but just take it and read it and listen to it and obey, not to become children of God, but to become obedient children of God, children that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, children that knows what God did for us at Calvary, not people that's doubting, people that's wondering how it all came about, how all it goes about, and whether I have to do this and do that. Read what God has to say. Don't even listen to what I have to say. But I hope and pray that I could encourage you. I could in some way encourage the Lord's people to spend more time reading, understanding. I tell you, the more I read, the more I love it. The more I read, the more the Lord blesses me to understand. And in understanding and knowing, as much as God wants us to know about Him, is a great blessing in this lifetime. I say this, I said this yesterday at the funeral. The God that we serve today, He's not worried about anything. The condition that this country is in, the condition that the church is in, He's not worried about it. He's able to take care of it. Doesn't trouble Him whatsoever. The God, as we have said, that can speak this universe. The God that can take a heart of stone and turn it into a flesh. Can take a heart that is so hateful and disgusting that it's sickening, and turn it into one that can love and get along here in this world. One of the main lessons that the Lord taught here on this earth when He came here is forgiveness. Forgiveness. I've said this before, one of the hardest doctrines in the Bible for us to properly tend to is forgiveness. You know, when I get to the end of the prayer that He was teaching the apostles how to pray, and He makes the statement that if I don't forgive, neither is God going to forgive me. You know, that's not saying that God's going to wipe my name off of out of the book of life, but He's going to forget to bless me. He's going to forget for me. I am going on my own, but I'm not going to enjoy His promises and the many things that He's promised us here in this life when I don't look to Him, when I don't trust Him, when I don't put my faith in Him. Our faith in Him, through Him. You know, the scriptures is so plain in so many places. Through Him, in Him, and by Him are all things. In Him, we're able to do all things. In Him. Not in me, not in you, not anywhere else, but in one that is able, and will be attentive to our prayers when we do it in the way that the instruction book gives us, when we humble ourselves, when we seek His face and pray to Him. He's promised to heal our nation, to heal our home, to heal this poor sinner, and He's able and well to do it all. May God bless and keep each word of you, my prayer.
T'was grace that taught my heart to
Sometimes, and I'm going to keep with this, it just seems to me that from last night through the day, that the subject has been baptism, and it's good to hear it. It's good to hear it, that the Lord has impressed upon not only this preacher and this preacher and this preacher and the ones about baptism. So I take that to be important. I was telling Gary, as Brother Steele was speaking right there, I said, when you're not with God, you are missing your blessing. And often thought about, think about that a lot. I've told people before, they want to know why I go to church. Why do I go? Well, I'm telling you, this is the reason why I'm selfish. Because I'm looking for my blessing. And I know I'm not going to find it in the world. Amen. So if I'm going to find my blessing, I've got to go somewhere where the blessing is. Because God says, I'm not going to bless you in the world. If you're amongst the world, you're not going to be blessed. That's reason enough right there to come in on its own, because whether he blesses me not here or not, but I'm looking. I'm here looking for the blessing. So if I am blessed, then I truly am blessed. But you know, because I have the ability to go look for it, I'm blessed to begin with, whether I get it or not. And people don't understand that. I'm going to kind of follow up on this in this. I'm going to read in John chapter 9, and it said, where I want to start, if you want to follow, it said, and Jesus passed by and he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, that's a lot of questions. You know, a lot of times people ask that question. You know, why is this person living this life? And this person living this life? Why is that happening? You know, what sin did he commit? You know, what did he do? Or was it him that sinned? Or was his parents that sinned? Well, we're going to take this man right here that Jesus is talking about right here. He was born blind. He was born blind. So, you know, as far as what he did, he was just born. But he was born blind. And Jesus answered, said, neither had this man sinned, for nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It's amazing to me, he said, all this is taking place for you to see the power of God. You know, and you think, well, that's selfish, you know. Why would this take place? God is going to show you something here in this scripture right here that it took a while for me to grab hold and understand. You know, God is going to show you his power. There was nothing, no doctors, no physicians or anything could do for this man that was born blind. He was born without sight. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. To me, it's kind of a light and a shadow of when you were born before Jesus touched you. Before you were blind to Jesus Christ. You might have heard of Jesus Christ, or your parents might have taken you to church, and you might have listened and heard his name mentioned, but you might know of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know Jesus Christ. You didn't know who he was. You knew of him. Well, this man here was blind, and Jesus could have simply said, give him sight. Or Jesus could have just thought, and he could have had sight. Or Jesus could have touched his eyes, and he had sight. Jesus had that kind of power. But Jesus did something important right here for all of us to understand. I'm going to get down to it in just a minute. Then as he spoke,
He spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He said, not only did Jesus spit on the ground and made clay, Jesus could have opened his eyes immediately to see all that he see, but he told him to go somewhere. He said, go and be washed in the pool. He was telling him to see it. A lot of times in our life, when you're called out of a waste, howler, wilderness, when you're called out, there's some point that you're going to be sent to. And you don't have a clue why you're going. I know it happened to me. It happened to you and all of it. God will call you and you think you understand God and Jesus. You got it. You're like old Saul. I got this under control, you know. I'm educated in the church doctrine and I know what all this law means. And I understand all about the law. But as I'm going doing what I think God wants me to do, God opened his eyes. You know, actually, Saul was blinded on the road to start with, but told him to go somewhere. And his eyes was open. Jesus right here had the ability to touch that man's eye and open immediately. I know when I walked in an old Baptist church the first time, I heard the gospel preached for the very first time in my life. And I was some 30 years old and always been going to church all my life. But when I walked in, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. But being ignorant, I didn't understand it, but I knew it was the truth. Because Jesus Christ had touched me and called me out and brought me to a place that was strange to me. Even though before then I was going to church and I thought I knew all about God and you. And I had everything under control. But yet when I was called out and my eyes was open, I walked in. I knew that what was being preached in front of me that day was the truth of Jesus Christ and didn't understand a minute of it. Have you ever had that feeling inside of yourself when God is talking to you and working on you and he's giving you something inside and you don't know what it is, but it's there and it's worrying you and it's just turning you over and over and you can't sleep and you can't rest and you're walking around and you're trying to decide what I'm going to do and God has touched you. But yet, he tells you to go somewhere. You can't sit there and get it. Brother Steele was talking about how you read the Bible, that you get more and more out. You're exactly right, Brother Steele. The more you read it, the more you get. I have read verses in the Bible over and over again and didn't understand a bit of it. But yeah, I keep right on reading. I have walked away and folded that book up and said, I'm done with it. I don't want to even go back to it anymore. And the next thing you know, you're right back at it and you're in there and you're dreaming and you're looking for something in there and it comes out because God has just opened your eyes. He told you to go. Not only that, he told him to go to the pool and be washed. I consider that kind of like going to the creek and getting baptized. Because once you get down there in that dirty old creek and you get down in that water and you come out and you start getting an understanding then that the world can't explain to you. Then you start studying and you start wondering and you start war. This man right here went down. He didn't even know who Jesus Christ was. He said, I went and did exactly what he said. You know, a lot of times we're called to go do something, but yet we let our own carnal mind stop us from doing what God has called us out to do. You know, we're too busy, Lord. You know, I got to make a living, Lord. And we have heard today in the preaching of today in this very building how God has taken care of everything from the very first day it was created. He had the power, but yet we have the ability to say, Lord, I can't go. I can't go. I tell people this a lot of time. I said, I don't understand why somebody can sit on the back pew of a church and the tears rolling down their face when they're hearing the gospel preached and sit there and think for one moment they can resist the long, mighty arm of God himself. Because when God decides it's time, brother. You're coming, brother. And there is not a thing in the world that's going to stop you except your own greed and your own ability to say, well, I'm going to reject God. You know, thing about sin and is, you know, we look at sin kind of different. We want to take it, you know, and make it not a big deal, you know. So I sinned against Brother John. But that's not who I'm sinning against. I'm sinning against God himself. That's where the sin is God.
Yeah, we want to detune it a little bit because we don't want it to be. So, you know,
if you're not doing what God asks you to do, if you're not feeling and he's calling you out to go somewhere, do something, or if he's not doing what the will of God, you're sinning against God. And you're not only that, you're standing up saying, I know more than God. I believe when one got in the belly of a big fish thought he knew more than God. Because he decided that he didn't want to go and preach the gospel. He decided he'd go do what he thought he was due. This man said, right, go swimming. And he went right away therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore said that which before had seen him that he was blind. Is not he that sat and begged? Some say this is he. Others say it is like him. But he say, I am he. You know, that's another thing. That's another thing too. I don't know about y'all. I have a Facebook page and I got some friends that I haven't seen in 30, 40 years. High school classmates, you know. And we were kind of developing a relationship again over. But when they found out that I was preaching the gospel, the relationship just kind of shoo. I even had one tell me, said, I can't believe you, an old Baptist preacher. Said, there was them old preachers that preach for hours. And I looked at him. I said, well, they used to, but I said, they got so now, they got so sorry that they don't even preach for hours anymore. You know, but, you know, people know who we are. But yet, they don't want to be part of us. I don't know. Our dues must be too high. That's the only thing I can figure, because I understand it's free grace. It don't cost you nothing. It's offered to you. You know, the Lord touched you. He said, go. He said, but he said, you know, some said, that's the one. You know, he was blind, you know. He said, it is I. Therefore say unto him, how were their eyes opened? And he answered, said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Jesus called him out and told him to go somewhere. You know, you could put that in a latitude right toward your church. You know, the Holy Ghost, when Jesus Christ said, I must go. We all understand. He said, I must go to prepare a face. But I'm going to send someone, a comforter and a teacher. He's going to comfort you in your time of need, but he's also going to teach you. Now, Brother Gary, these brethren right here, we have a responsibility to teach. But we have a responsibility to teach what God has laid on us. And a lot of times, we get our own self crossed up. When we get our own head, Brother Steele, I get the same way. I want to preach what I want to preach because I'm comfortable. But yet God gives you a subject that might make you a little, you know, worry, as you say. But God knows what his congregation needs. So therefore, you should preach what God laid on your heart to preach. We want to be great in our profession. We're like everybody else. We're carnal. But we have to understand, God knows what you need, what I need, what the entire country needs, what the church needs. He knows what it needs. He said, then he said unto him, well, where is he at? where is this Jesus? You know, where do you find Jesus? You know, I can imagine what was going on here. They were saying, we're looking for Jesus now, you know. They said unto him, he said, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that was aforetime was blind. And it was the seventh day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Well, I declare, here it is right there on the seventh day, you know. How wonderful it is, because I believe it was on the seventh day that the Lord opened my eyes. You know, I was in an old Baptist church First time I ever walked in. It might have been on a Saturday, but it was an old Baptist church. But it was the first time my eyes was open. Didn't understand what was going on. Didn't understand what it was all about. Just knew that there was something there that was the truth. And he said, the Pharisees asked him how he received sight. And he said unto him, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and did see. Therefore say some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others say, how can this man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that had opened thy eyes? He said, he is a prophet. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that received sight. You know, these people were hard-headed, you know. I mean, so we'll call his parents in. You know, this Jesus could not do that. You know, I don't understand, but you know, who are we? Who are we? Jesus can perform the miracles. And we're going to question it right on down the line. You know, because a man didn't have anything to do with it, Brother Jamie. So, but you say Jesus, you know, how can that be? Where is Jesus at? You know, tell me where I can find Jesus. We know where we can find him. He's there always. He's always there. Most of the time we don't look for him. Most of the time we have back old mind set up that we're going to do what we want to do. And we don't think about Jesus. And then he says, call his parents of him that receives sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who was born blind? How then do we know he now see? And his parents answered them, we know not. We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who have opened his eyes, but we know not. He is of age. Ask him to speak for himself. These words his parents spake because they feared the Jews, and the Jews had already agreed already that if any man did confess that he was with Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. You know, I think Brother Gary and I were talking there at lunchtime. Or it might not be at lunchtime, but I could preach to anybody if they'll come with an open mind. These Jews right here, their mind was closed. They had already made up their mind. You know, they didn't want to hear or see or understand what just took place. They already made up in their mind that this could not have happened. So therefore, if you were saying that Jesus Christ opened your eyes, we're going to put you out of the synagogue. They'd already made up their mind. They didn't go on what the facts. They didn't got the parents there to say, is this your son? The one that was born blind. Their mind was up. You know, I like to discuss the Bible with anybody, anywhere. And it don't matter what religion you are. If you'll come with an open mind. Because I'm going to keep an open mind. But I'm going to hang on to what I understand, because what I understand is I'm going to quote you out of this book right here. I'm not going to take what Robert said. I'm not going to take what Brother Barnabas said. I'm going to take what this book says right here. And I'm going to ask you how you get what you get. Can this back up what you believe? It won't hold water. God took care of it all. The Bible tells us plainly, before the foundation of the world. That's one thing the world has the biggest problem with that I've ever seen in my entire life. When you start talking election and predestination. They even go start talking, well, why would God choose? I said, because it's righteous. Because this book right here tells me that everything God does is righteous. So therefore, that's all I got to go on. I can't argue any other way other than God did it and it's righteous. And that's where we need to learn to stand on. We don't have to argue and have a conversation. We can say, well, just take this. I've had people tell me, that, well, that old King James book don't mean nothing anymore. You got to get a new modern so you can get the real meaning of the Word of God. I said, how much simpler can it be than the King James Version when it says in John 3:6, God so loved the world. How much simpler can that be? I don't need an NIV or a New English Bible or anything. I don't need that. I'm like old Saul. I don't know anything at all. The only thing I know is that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary. He died upon a tree and was buried on the third day he rose. And that's all I need to know. And that's all I'm going to hang on to. All the rest of that stuff, I'm going to get it right out of here. And I'm going to quote it to you word for word what God said. And whatever God gives you, if He opens your ears that you hear it, or He opens your eye that you can see Jesus in the truth of who Jesus Christ is, then you count it as a blessing. Because God has blessed you to see something. This poor man right there, he said, they asked him, said, well, how, he said, I've told you three times how I received sight. You're not going to believe me then? Brother Gary, you can talk to some people in the world today about grace and God's grace, election and sight, and you can tell them 1,000 times. And they're not going to believe it until Jesus Christ opens their eyes. And when He touches them, they're going to come crawling. They're going to come crawling. So, you know, we would love to have these old church buildings full to the brim with God-fearing people, children that Jesus Christ has called. But I'm telling you right now, and I've said it before, and I'll say it 1,000 times, I'd rather preach to 5 good old Baptists that understand the truth than 5,000 out the stadium and that all they want to do is be entertained. Because I'm not much of an entertainer. And I'm not much of a baseball player. And I can't play basketball and I'm too fat for track. So that's who I am. But the only thing I can tell you is it's where the truth is. And God laid the truth out in this book right here. And He said He laid it out. And you know what's so amazing about this book right here? He laid it out so you can read it just like I can read it. But He said, go. Go. And He said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that is where I was blind and now I see. He said, I don't know if that Jesus is a sinner. I don't know anything. You know, he didn't see Jesus. He was blind. He had to go wash. But he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I can tell you one thing. I was blind and now I see. I'm like, that's just like old Saul there. He said, I don't know nothing at all but Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and rose on the third day. And that's just what he's saying right here. I don't know. But I can tell you right now, I can see. And I can understand. And those things that were a mystery, now I see just as plain as day how God foreknew you before you even knew who you were. And he said, well, the man answered, said there, why therein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, yet he has opened your eyes. I told you all that I knew of Jesus Christ before I came to the old church, or before Jesus touched me. I knew of him. And I was probably pretty good at reading about him and speaking about him. But when he touches you, there's a difference. Now you know of him. He already knew about you. You knew something about him because your parents told you, or your teachers told you, or somebody, you know, told you about Jesus. You had all this, but now he touched you. He opened your eyes. He took out that old stony heart and he put a fleshly heart in, and now you started a new thing. Them things that used to feel like good to you, them things that you used to like to do when you were young, now you hate and despise. But the things that you despised when you were young, now you love and you can't get enough of it. I can remember sitting on them old benches in the church when I was little, and I would wait for that preacher to hurry up and shut up and I can get out this door. I won't never come back, you know. Funny thing how life changes you when God touches you. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he will heareth. You know, these old sad, you know, they just couldn't get this, they just couldn't grab hold of this Jesus thing. You know, he said he's got to be a sinner. He said, God hears you. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man be not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, oh, this is what I really like. Thou was altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. He said, wait a minute. You're teaching us? You were born in sin, and you're teaching us? I think this man was preaching to him. He said, I don't know. I don't understand. He said, I don't know. I don't understand all this. Do you understand it all, Brother Jamie? Do you, Brother Gary? We don't understand it all, but I can tell you one thing. My eyes was closed, and now they open. And that's what I got to hang on to. And they say, well, wait a minute. You uneducated beggar, now you're teaching. Kick him out of the church because he's preaching to us. Jesus heard that he was cast him out and went and found him and said to him, Does thou believe on the Son of God? How about that? He said, you believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. How wonderful it is. Amen. There's where our worship is. There's where our worship is. And do you see, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was all the work of God.
Amen.
Man had absolutely nothing to do with it. So when you came here today looking for your blessing, if you heard something in this building that was beneficial and uplifting to you, give God the credit. Because these brethren that stand up here, we're just instruments that God uses.
Amen.
And we're subject to error, and we're subject to everything that you're subject to. So give God the credit. And I thank you for your kind attention. And it has truly been a pleasure that I was able to come and be with y'all and be with this church. Hopefully that I can get back more often, but as Brother Danny said the other day, it seems harder and harder to get around anymore like we used to, and things change. But thank you for your kind attention.
God bless you. It's been good having you, Brother Ralph.
Thank you, Lord.
193. Gonna sing this hymn, Public Open Door of the Church. Very, very thankful for the Lord's blessing.
Thank you,
brother. This day, give him the praise and the glory for every good thing we've heard. More about Jesus. We'll stand and sing and convene with you again. There'll be one more here. I have a desire to unite with this church. Any sister church is represented. Follow your Lord in baptism whenever you please want to be here. Lord, the Lord will lead you in direction. 193, more about Jesus.
More about Jesus would I know.
More of his
grace to others show.
More of his saving fullness sing. More of his love would die for me. More about Jesus.
More of his holy will.
see more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His Word, Holy Communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus.
About 5 o'clock for those who'd like to have supper beforehand, and services at 6, the Lord willing, for those who can come and be with us. We appreciate so much each and every one who has been with us. I know some can't be with us and going to be going back to different places, and we just are so very, very thankful for all that have come, and thank the Lord for our fellowship in the Lord, for our friendship, fellowship over the years, all that the Lord has allowed us to have by His grace. And very, very thankful for the preaching that we've heard today, for the singing, for the prayers that have been offered, for all that the Lord has given us here in His church. And may the Lord bless us to really appreciate it, hold it, and cherish it as dear as it really should be to each and every one of us. Continue to pray for one another. Continue, if you can't be with us please come be with us tomorrow evening, those that have services in the morning, but any that can come with us in the morning, we'd love to see you as well. But if you can be, please remember to send your prayers as we try to pray for one another as we should and all. Any other announcements or anything that anyone has that you need to make? Brother Harry, we're going to ask you then to dismiss us, the Lord willing, with a word of prayer.
Word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, and it's to be the one and only true living God, and we go thanks for this beautiful day, Lord, that has blessed us this. Especially blessed us, Lord, to know Thee, the living God, to know Thy Son, Jesus, our Lord, our God, and our Savior, and to know Thy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, our Comforter, Keeper in this time world. We thank Thee, Lord, for all Thy many blessings this day. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us now as we go back to our earthly abodes, or as we come back, or those who will come back tonight to worship Thee again, may they praise and honor Thee, Lord. But that may they be the main thought in our minds and whatever we do, that we always worship Thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Thy mercy.
Thank You so much, Lord.
Oh, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
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 Are you gonna?
I might come.
Are you coming back?
Yeah, later on. The whole little bit.
Yeah.